All right, we'll go ahead and call this meeting of the Garrett County Commissioners to order on Monday, August the 7th. I want to thank everybody for coming out. I apologize for the brief delay in getting started. If everyone would please stand and we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pastor Kroll?
Please bow your heads with me. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can gather in freedom. We thank you, Father, that we're able to be here to deliberate on matters. And we just pray, as always, Father, that you would make these commissioners a channel of your blessing, that you would grant them wisdom and insight, all that they need. Pray that you would help them to communicate well, to understand and listen well, and by this, Father, to be a blessing not only to the county but to the region. And I ask this for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Knoll, do we have any additions, corrections, or deletions of public agenda?
No, sir, we do not.
Hearing none, do we have a motion to adopt the public agenda?
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. The agenda is approved by mutual consent. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance of the meeting. Are there any questions or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. The minutes are approved by mutual consent. Okay, the first item on the agenda is a proclamation for National Health Center Week. I see we have some representatives from Mount Laurel here with us. Is Amy coming?
She's not able to make it.
She's not. You're stepping in?
Yes.
All right, pinch hitting. Appreciate that. We do have a proclamation for National Health Center Week, August the 13th through the 19th. Whereas a significant number of citizens in Garrett County are currently medically underserved for a number of reasons, the most prominent of which include financial barriers, geographical isolation, and insufficient number of health care providers, and whereas Maryland's community health centers are private nonprofit corporations that provide high-quality, comprehensive, community-based primary health care and other services to medically underserved Marylanders, and whereas Mountain Laurel Medical Center, a Garrett County community health center, serves as a voice for the medically underserved and explores and implements activities aimed at providing quality, accessible, and personalized health care to all local residents, regardless of ability to pay. Whereas community health centers have made a difference by improving access to health care provided by trained professionals in areas that have previously been underserved, promoting individual responsibility and health awareness in the communities, and offering primary preventative health care of the highest quality to reduce preventable disease, deaths, costly disabilities, and chronic and communicable disease. Whereas it is critical that community health centers remain viable providers of comprehensive primary health care, health education, and other enabling services. Now, therefore, the Board of County Commissioners of Garrett County do hereby proclaim the week of August 13th through the 19th, 2017, as National Health Center Week in Garrett County, and urge citizens to recognize the important contributions of community health centers in safeguarding health and improving the quality of life for all people in Garrett County. Be it further resolved that Garrett County does hereby recognize the growing contributions of Mount Laurel Medical Center in expanding access to health care and improving the health and future well-being of the citizens of Garrett County and surrounding areas. Signed by Commissioners Heimbaugh, Tichenor, and myself. And we thank you all very much for what you do, and invite you to say a few words if you'd like to, or just come and get your proclamation.
I'll say thank you for your support. Thank you. And if we can do a quick picture, please.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks.
Actually, you want to come up here with us?
Oh, yeah, I'll do it, yeah. Thanks.
Slide you right in there. That'll
come
work.
Come up in there.
Thank you.
Thank you,
guys.
Thanks, Duke. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the purchasing department with a couple of items, and Brian, I'll turn it over to you.
Good
afternoon, gentlemen. I have two items for your consideration this afternoon. The first is a bid rejection of the Paradise Run Stormwater Management Ponds bid. We accepted these bids on May 18th. We received a total of 10 responses. This was to construct stormwater management to plans for the Paradise Run Stormwater Management for that subdivision. The recommendation, after discussing it with permits and inspections, was to obviously reject the bids, and the reason behind that is the lack of sufficient funding to fund that at this point. So the recommendation is to reject all bids.
Okay, any questions for Brian on that?
Just that the lack of sufficient funding is because of?
The lack of sufficient funding at this point is because of we were going to explore the performance bond that was submitted as part of the stormwater management whenever they bonded the project back years ago. There was a question of whether we would be able to collect on that, and that's the reason for the rejection.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Brian? Let's take go ahead and take that item. Do I have a motion to reject the bids?
So move.
All right, we have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you.
And the next agenda item is in preparation for the upcoming. I have submitted a list to you already of surplus vehicles and equipment. In order for me to dispose of those, I'm asking the board to declare those items surplus in accordance with Section 8-105 of the purchasing policy. Our plan upon your approval is to start listing items on GovDeals, which is the online auction source that we use for surplus items. We're running ads in the local paper advising anybody, you know, locally that you can get on there. It's a public auction, can bid on those items. And the items that we find that are not fit, there are a few items that are in pretty poor condition. We accept quotes to recycle them or salvage them accordingly. So at this time, I'm requesting for the board to declare those items on that list as surplus.
Right. Questions on that?
Just real quick, the online auction, do we have any idea based on past experience how many local people end up buying on the online? I mean, local people, they participate in it, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while. We've had a few people participate in online, but since we're reaching a lot, with it being online, you're reaching a lot larger of an audience. We are getting more out of our surplus items, selling them that way than if we were just have an auction here, like we used 2 years ago, like an on-premise auction.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So demographically, I can't really tell you off the top of my head, it's been a few years, how many people actually were local, but I do know we have had some in the past.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, do we have a motion to declare surplus vehicles and equipment and that aligns with Section 8-105, disposition of surplus property?
Motion to approve.
Right, we have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion, second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Okay, next item on the agenda is to close the public meeting and open a public hearing on a boundary change of the McHenry Water Service Area and the Thayerville Water Service Area. At this time, I need a motion to close the public meeting and open a public hearing.
So move.
All right, we have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. The public meeting is now closed, and the public hearing on the boundary change of McHenry Water Service and Thayerville Water Service area is open. And Pat, we'll turn it over to you from DPU, Department of Public Utilities.
Thank you, gentlemen. So, as you said, this is a public hearing presenting boundary change amendments to you per Title IX, Section 648 of the Environment Article of the Annotated Code of Maryland. We need to present this public hearing and present the boundary amendment changes. For this hearing, we are proposing to change the Thayerville and the McHenry Water Service Area boundaries to include a small section of road, Deep Creek Drive, between 219 Bridge over Deep Creek Lake and Gravelly Run Road, and to combine the two service areas into one new water service area, which we're going to call the Deep Creek Lake Water Service Area. This is ahead of a project to connect the Thayerville and the McHenry water systems to provide supplemental water and a supplemental water supply to the McHenry water system that has become short on water. Ad valorem tax rates will be affected. Currently, the McHenry water service area has a tax rate of 5 cents per $100 of assessed value on improved and unimproved water. And the Thayerville water service area currently has a tax rate of 24 cents per $100 of value on improved and unimproved property values. Once combined, this would take effect next year's tax cycle. The tax rate would be 10 cents across both service areas, of 10 cents on $100 of value of assessed property value, improved and unimproved parcels in the service area. That's all I have. Open to questions, comments.
Questions from the commissioners? Any questions or comments from the public? Yes, sir.
I have a request. Can I make a request?
Yep.
Since you're making a boundary change, I thought that this was done some time ago. I'd just like to request on the property up here near the corner of 42 and Garrett Road, and I would like to be considered for inclusion in the district. And it's this little section right here would have to come in, so I just request that. Consider incorporating that in because it's right across from the police barracks, the sewer line of the police barracks, and at one point the rescue squad wanted service out there and was considering it, then they ended up not doing it. But it's a request to include that. Please consider.
All right, thank you. And Pat, correct me if I'm wrong, this was the original plan from the beginning, was these two would be consolidated, or at least the thought when this first came about years ago?
Yes, Thayerville was designed with this in mind. So, yeah, it was part of the original concept of the Thayerville water.
And if this didn't happen, there would have to be an alternative to get more water to McHenry anyway.
This is our answer for an alternative solution for water that MDE has requested as part of the Poise Run project. So once we get done with this, engineering, permitting, design of this, we're probably 2 to 3 years from construction, but MDE is going to view this as an alternative water source supply to the McHenry system should we run into issues with the Poise Run project down the road.
Right.
Just to be clear, though, this is not in lieu of
This is a backup and the next phase of... This is a backup and will only supplement what we need. This won't carry enough water to meet all of our demand.
Right. I guess my point of that is, if we don't do this and we do an alternative, the McHenry ad valorem tax is going to change no matter what.
No matter what, yes.
And the importance of doing these additional upgrades, I think it was last weekend, Shuey said we set a new record for the amount of water produced and sold based on the number of people we're in the
right.
area. So it's increasing again.
It's been markedly up all year, our water sales.
So we're starting to see, I think, the return, and then you'll start seeing the growth again. So we're trying to plan ahead to accommodate that.
Sure. Yes, sir.
I gave you all a copy of what I'm going to say. First of all, I'm going to go through a little history here. The decisions initially made in the McHenry water system negatively impacted the McHenry Water District. When it became clear what the Garrett County Public Works Department was going to do, the residents were overwhelmingly opposed to the expansion of the system in 2011. And it was reported in the Republican. how everybody said they weren't notified and they had no idea what was going on. As a result, former Commissioner Crawford said that he apologized for it and that in the future, any change on the part of the Public Works Department, you would send postcards to those impacted in those areas. Now, maybe this commissioner's, a set of commissioners, doesn't want to follow that rule, but that's what Chairman Crawford said would occur. And the, you know, this is just for the public record. The second thing is, after we had 2 months to organize the residents in McHenry, we had a public meeting and there was resulting changes in the policy on policy 211-1 and 211-2. I have a copy of that if you need it. In a letter dated to me on August 22nd, which is Exhibit 3, Chairman Crawford at that time estimated that the ad valorem tax would be between 2 and 4 cents per 100 of assessed value. Guess what? I'm paying, look at Exhibit 13. I mean Exhibit 3. I'm paying 13 cents. And my tax, this is all actual numbers, is $717 a year. As a result of this, my property tax has actually gone up 30% in the last 3 years. Next, we're hearing about this Western Conveyance Project. And it's just being said, oh, it's going to be rolled into the McHenry water system. Okay, what does that mean? Where's the financial numbers on that? Then we're talking about a grinder pump issue. Oh, we don't want to pay for it anymore. Let's throw it on the lake residents again. So, you know, you're talking significant additions. So what can we do? Clearly, we can't go back to the 2 and 4 cents ad valorem tax that Chairman Crawford enunciated. But what we could do is initiate a financial study by an outside firm that would take a serious look at what's going on in the public works area. Because I have no faith, and most people don't have any faith, in the numbers thrown out, as you can see, by the Public Works Department. And this study could cover a number of issues. Expanding the system as proposed, and then the water rates for commercial residential users. Why a restaurant that can, you know, cover the cost of the water he uses in the product he serves, yet the residential customer just gets hit and hit and hit. The rental customers, they raise the rates. But we, the residents of McHenry, we just get crucified. And it's got to stop. It really has to stop. There has to be innovative thinking to deal with this issue. And I don't know the other, you know, of course, the county state intervention and other grant sources could be examined by this study. In the intervening period, I would propose or suggest a moratorium on any further public works projects that affect McHenry or the expanded McHenry area. I'm not opposed to this. What I'm opposed to is my 717 going to 1,200. Upon completion of a study, a full and detailed public hearing should be held. According to that policy, that was enunciated by Commissioner Crawford. And in conclusion, as so often is said, the lake is Garrett County's number one resource. So my question is, why is the disproportionate financial burden being placed on the McHenry residential homeowners? Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That would be part of the public record.
Yeah. Any other questions or comment? All right. As a FYI, the comment period on this proposal will be from now until August the 21st. So for anyone that couldn't be here today or would like to comment on this, can call or email or stop by and see Kevin or any of us to share their opinion and thoughts on the boundary change on the McHenry Water Service. If there are no other questions or comments, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing and reopen the public meeting.
So moved.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
All right, the public hearing is now closed and the public meeting is reopened. Thank you very much, Pat, appreciate that. And Mr. Kelly, that'll be in a public record. We appreciate your comments. I'm going to, because of the comments raised on this, I am going to slightly deviate from the agenda for a second because the issue was brought up about the grinder pump and the conversation that's been around the grinder pumps. We have met and we've talked to a lot of different people in the community. We've talked with DPU. We are shelving that at this time. So the proposal, if you will, to look at modifying the way we're doing grinder pumps is being taken off the table at this point. For some of the reasons that you mentioned, Mr. Kelly, there's a lot of stuff happening at Deep Creek right now, and we think it's too much at one time, and we're stopping that movement.
Well, I do, and the residents of McHenry appreciate that, and this study is designed mainly as a confidence builder, because there's little confidence out there in the numbers, and I was talking with my neighbor, and he says, geez, $30,000 for a 75-foot water line, you know, over the period, and that's not counting a payment for a drop of water.
So I did want to make that announcement so that everybody's aware of that because of the relevance to the comments. Next up on the agenda is the introduction of ordinance allowing certain all-terrain vehicles to operate on Garrett County roadways. That's an introduction of that ordinance for public review and comment, which we will take up until September 5th. And I want to thank Sheriff Corley for coming, and he's been instrumental in working on this. And Mr. Knoll, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. In this past General Assembly, the General Assembly passed a enacted Senate Bill 979, and it was signed into law on May 25th, 2017, by Governor Hogan, authorizing the Board of County Commissioners of Garrett County as a governing body of the county to reasonably exercise its police powers as to its highways under its jurisdiction, and authorizing a person to cross a highway on an all-terrain vehicle or snowmobile, or to operate an all-terrain vehicle or snowmobile on certain designated portions of highways under the jurisdiction of the county. The The explanation of the ordinance is as follows. A person may operate an all-terrain vehicle or a snowmobile on not more than 2 miles of a highway designated by the board on not more than 2 miles at the speed of not more than 25 miles per hour for the sole purpose of gaining access to trails on which to operate, on which the operation of an all-terrain vehicle or snowmobile is authorized, or to a field or other area where the operation of an all-terrain vehicle or snowmobile is authorized. So let me summarize that. That is, a person may authorize operate an all-terrain vehicle or snowmobile for up to 2 miles on a designated county road at not more than 25 miles an hour for the sole purpose of gaining access to a trail or a field, farm field, or other such place. They also can cross a highway at a right angle of a speed of not more than 25 miles per hour. Again, 25 miles per hour is the maximum speed limit they can be operated at. The Board of County Commissioners may by resolution close or restrict any specific road to all train vehicles or snowmobiles. Subject to the regulations contained in this ordinance, only all train vehicles and snowmobiles, as defined by the transportation article of the Annotated Code of Maryland, are hereby allowed on roads in Garrett County roadway inventory, excluding municipal roads and state highways. So municipal roads and state highways are excluded. Municipalities may opt into the program. All train vehicles and snowmobiles must be registered every year and pay a registration fee as set by the Garrett County Commissioners to operate on Garrett County roadways. The registration sticker must be displayed prominently on the rear of the vehicles. All train vehicles and snowmobile operators must have proof of valid liability insurance covering his or her vehicle. All train vehicles and snowmobile operators in Garrett County roadways must possess a valid driver's license. All operators under the age of 18 years of age must wear an approved helmet while operating an all-terrain vehicle or snowmobile. No passengers are permitted on single-seat all-terrain vehicles and snowmobiles. Passengers on all other all-terrain vehicles and snowmobiles are limited to the number of manufactured and installed passenger seats on the vehicles. All-terrain vehicles and snowmobiles must have at least an operating brake light and a headlight when in operation on Garrett County roadways. And all-terrain vehicles and snowmobiles must travel single file on the right-hand shoulder or the extreme right-hand shoulder of the road, and left-hand turns may be made from any part of the road if it is safe to do so under the prevailing conditions. Failure to abide by any of the conditions shall constitute a violation of this ordinance. The fines are: first violation is $100. Second violation is $250 fine and 60-day suspension from using all-terrain vehicles or snowmobiles on Garrett County roadways. And a third violation is a $500 fine and a lifetime suspension from using all-terrain vehicles or snowmobiles on county roadways. The permits will be $25. And they, once the ordinance, assuming the ordinance is passed, approved and passed, permits will be available at the county tax office as well as online. This will, so that's the nuts and bolts of the ordinance. Question? I'm sorry? Okay.
If municipality decides to opt, would like to opt in to this, they can't modify or change what the prevailing rules are, correct?
Correct.
And if they decide to do so, would they be required to use the county permitting system or create their own?
No, there is only one permitting system, which is the county's.
So even if you're a municipality, you can go to the county to get that permit?
Correct.
I'm going to the council meeting.
Correct. Yeah. So what you would just have to adopt our ordinance so the sheriff's department can enforce it. I want to speak for the sheriff.
Yeah, what that allows to do, Jay, is if the town does opt in, then it'll allow us to know that, hey, that person can do that. If you see that person in there and you're obviously not in it, then you know. For instance, can we modify the permit a little bit so we can make money off of it? And in theory, they can't. There's no way for us to. The permit is a license plate, so I mean, that's the only way we'll be able to identify. And if it's allowed in town, then we can't look for other ways of identifying somebody. We call it a town permit.
No, I'm fine with that. But we can't be parts of it out or add anything to it. And now the issue that we're going to have is, of course, the interest in using golf carts because of country club.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So we got to figure that out.
Yeah, I think that's a question that we need to work through yet to see if that is meets a definition.
Okay. All right, that's what I needed to know, so I'm heading down to the city hall.
You could have all those golf carts by a county sticker so they could.
Actually, we won't be the first municipality to do that because St. Mary's County does that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the description of an all-terrain vehicle in the transportation article, golf cart does fit that description because it's a four-wheel vehicle designed to be used off-road. So it does fit that description.
But according to this ordinance, it would need a headlight, taillight.
Absolutely, yes. It has to meet all those.
Is it taillight or brake light?
Taillight and brake light.
Right.
Bond combination. Thank you.
Thank you. Sheriff, do you have anything you'd like to add to that at all?
I'm glad to answer any questions if anybody has.
Like I said, Sheriff Corley was an advisor to this and put a lot of time and effort in his department into this, which we appreciate.
Do you need a seatbelt?
If the vehicle has a seatbelt, there's nothing written in the law that says that the only particular part in it says if you're under the age of 18, you'll be required to wear a helmet. My advice to you is if the vehicle is equipped, obviously a four-wheeler is not equipped with a seatbelt, but some side by sides of golf carts may be. My advice is if that piece of equipment is in there, utilize it.
Yeah.
Do you still have to buy your sticker to ride the lick from DNR?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this doesn't.
This does not have anything to do with DNR stickers.
You should set the $25 price.
County.
So do I buy that sticker for my sled and then buy one from DNR? It's $50.
Yes.
And then I sit back and hope it snows.
Don't buy it till it snows, Mike.
Any other question or comment on that particular item? And like I said, the comment period on that is until September the 5th, again, via email, phone call, or whatever else. And Sheriff, you'll do some community outreach on that once we implement it.
As soon as everything goes through with on your end, we'll do some community outreach to different organizations or municipalities and put good notice out for people to come to attend so we can explain the law, what they need to do, and how they can obtain licensing for it.
Sure.
You can buy it permit online, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Online or in person, yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Next up on the agenda, I'm happy to have Tom Carr with us. Tom, if you'd like to come up. Tom's going to talk a little bit about the Dr. Wendell Teets Foundation for the Garrett County Public Schools, and I'll turn it over to you, sir.
Thank you. This is an information item. Hopefully no protests. I'd like to fill in, I'm here to speak of the Garrett County Public Schools Dr. Wendell D. Teets Foundation, which has just been launched. In terms of funding for our education in Garrett County, we get relatively little from the federal government. So the bulk of funding falls on the state and on the county. Now, the county, and as a former member of the Board of Education, I'd like to thank the commissioners for their continuing support of public education. The county has a maintenance of effort. It's a stable sum. The state funds according to students. Now, in the past 12 years, we've lost 1,000 students in Garrett County, which means we're getting less and less from the state every year. So, and it's in a small way, the school board is attempting to establish a new source of revenue for the school systems. This goes back to 2011, at the retirement of Dr. Teets. The school board authorized the foundation of a foundation, the founding of a foundation. But because of what happened in the next 2 years, school closings, searching for new superintendents, it has taken a while for a foundation to become reality. This spring, it did become a reality. We waited until after the 1st of July to kick it off, so we didn't have to have an audit for last year. Now, the idea of a foundation is to bring in supplemental funds for extras, things that are desirable for the curriculum. In no way can it hope to fund teacher salaries, buildings, that sort of thing. I like to reduce it to the idea of we're there if we need an extra football or an extra tuba. It also provides teachers a public school foundation so that if they're on the market looking for grants for their particular program, this happened to us in the music department in Northern a couple of years ago. It was a $50,000 grant out there, but it had to be funneled, not through the school, but through a foundation. So we lost that money. Well, now we have a foundation. If teachers find a grant through which they have to funnel their grant through a foundation, the foundation now exists. So the long and short of it, this is the foundation. It's operational. We're saving part of the funding for extras, the eventual tuba or football. But at the same time, people can contribute money to the foundation, then earmark it for something special. The day of the kickoff, people contributed $1,100. $500 of that was earmarked for robotics. Fine, that's what we're here for. And we certainly, you know, applaud anyone who wants to contribute to the schools. And I have brought the brochures today, and I thank you for your time. And by way of thank you, this is my souvenir to you. And I have a few extra that I'm going to leave with Mr. Knoll for those who might possibly be interested.
Is it a 501c?
It is a 501c.
So you can get a tax credit for
it. It is a tax credit. And at this point, I'm the one writing the acknowledgments for tax credits.
Thank you, sir.
Tom, thank you very much for all your work on this. It's greatly appreciated. All right. Also, another announcement to make, update on the Economic Development Director. The Selection Committee did make a recommendation to the commissioners after the round of interviews for the Economic Development Director. However, after the interview process, that candidate was no longer interested in the position. So the board has reopened the search and is committed to finding the best person for that job. And it's to be noted that Commissioner Heimball has helped out in the vacancy. And the staff over there has really stepped up and is filling the gap quite nicely. So that's just an update on that. Are there any other questions or public comments? Yes, ma'am.
Last week, Senator Cardin announced that the Hub Zone program legislation had passed, was approved by his committee. How many Hub Zone businesses are there in the county, and when were there certification expire?
I think all but it's based on census tract, and I think there are, I think, seven census tracts in the county.
Okay.
Six of those expire early in 2018, I think. One of them, census tract 7, which is where the Southern Industrial Park is, that expires in 2019. So it's good news that the Joint Committee, I guess, passed or approved of the proposed changes, but it still has to get through both the House and the Senate. There's no guarantee.
Did it pass the House yet? I mean, the House committees?
I think, if I read it correctly, I think it was a Joint Committee.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but it still has to pass both the House and the Senate.
Because there was a campaign for public support locally.
That's correct.
For hub zones, and I assume that'll still be ongoing until this thing is done.
That's correct. The Chamber of Commerce sent out kind of an alert encouraging people to contact specific members of Congress. Yeah, there's one legislator that's a major impediment to this whole thing, and actually, I think the last time we tried this, I think we got to this point, and then he was able to kill it on the floor. So there's still a lot of work to be done. I don't, to answer your question, I don't know the exact number of hub zone certified. I think it's like 6 or 7, but you know, that could be a one person thing operating out of their home. There's no, it's difficult to tell. And I think you probably know that Garrett Container Systems in accident was the first business certified as a hub zone in the United States. So it's program's been really important to them. It's really important to GCC Technologies.
TDEC.
I think Demery.
Jobs we're talking here, at least.
I think Nicole has all that information specifically. Like Jim said, the number of businesses may not correlate to a large number of jobs. Some of them obviously do have a lot of employees, but I know there's one or two that are sort of single person shops that are operating, you know, telecommuting or whatever.
Can I ask just one thing about the economic development? Has there been a date established yet for the reopening, or is that still being determined for people to apply? You said the search was being reopened.
Yeah, we've already posted it on the major websites, being Maryland Economic Development Association, Maryland Association of Counties, Municipal League, Pennsylvania Economic Development. So,
right. I hadn't seen it, so I didn't know what the deadline was.
Jim, we're going to the annual summer conference of the Maryland Association of Counties next week. And one of the things we're going to do is to try to talk to commissioners from the other counties in Maryland to see if maybe there's a number two or a number three person in another economic development office somewhere that might be interested in taking this on in terms of upward mobility. We're going to try to do some networking while we're there to see if we can dig up some candidates on an informal basis rather than just relying on advertising.
And maybe get the kind of person maybe more what you're looking for. I'm not insulting the process. I'm just saying, you know, someone that you would want to see forward what you'd like to see forwarded economically.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah. Okay, any other questions or comments? The next meeting will be Tuesday, August 22nd at Rhines Glade Community Center on White Church Stoyer Road. And as Commissioner Heimball said, next week we'll be at the Summer MAKO Conference trying to get some work done on behalf of the county down there as well. So, if there are no other comments or questions, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right. Meeting adjourned.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for trying to help out on Facebook on that issue of grass, mowing the grass along the...